Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a serial cannapreneur in the growing, processing, and retail space for over 8 years. And we are here to learn together to get a well-balanced understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Tune in every week for quality cannabis education for your canna inspiration.
Streaming. And we got the We Are Live signal. Hello. And what up, though? Live from Detroit, this is the Cannabis Podcast Show, where we talk about the history, the cannabis science, the business of cannabis, all that jazz, so that you can get a well-rounded understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Today, we have a very hot subject for you today. I'm sure you guys have been watching the news and all the election. I know the presidential election was pretty hot to trot. But without no lawsuits, we do know what states actually legalize cannabis, whether medically or recreationally. And we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the 5 states that legalize. And we have a special guest for you today. I'm going to just jump right into it. Again, this is live. If you're out there live, say hello to me. Let me know if you're out there, where you're listening from, who you are, what your name is, and all that jazz. How you like the weather out here if you're in Detroit? Yep, it's about to snow. It is about to snow. La, 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 la. All right, without any further ado, again, this is a live show. It's questions and answers. For our special guests, you can ask any questions that you like as well. We'll try to get to them if it's relevant to the topic that we're talking about at that moment. If not, we will get to those questions towards the end, most definitely, even if it's off topic. Okay. We do have an attorney. His name is Neil. Man, I wish I should have said, asked him how to say his last name before I said this right now. But I'm going to say Neil. I'm sure he's going to correct me. Jinaja. Maybe that's right. I hope it's right. Anyways. He is an intellectual property and cannabis lawyer. That's nice. He is the founder and manager partner of Gleam Law, a cannabis law firm headquartered in Seattle, Washington. Well, I just got to say, I don't know if he's a Seahawks fan or not. We're going to talk about, is he a Seahawks fan or is he another fan? Seattle, the 12th man. We gotta put him on the spot here. He has an impeccable track record and years of cannabis business law experience, including navigating the complexities of patents, trademarks, and copyrights, which is heavily needed in this cannabis industry. Gleam Law stands out from the rest of the competition because of that. And as a Seattle cannabis lawyer, Neil represents clients across legal, marijuana, CBD, and hemp industry, and has successfully filed over 800 cannabis trademarks. That's a lot of trademarks. And patent applications, which is key. That's a topic in itself. We're not going to talk about that today, but trademarks and patents, maybe Neil will come back and we have a nice show and the comments are good. He may come back and his football team actually starts winning. He may come back and talk about trademarks and patents. But also, he represents clients worldwide in the United States Patent and Trademark Office, including utility patents, plant patents, and protection on the Plant Variety Protection Act of hemp strands. Yeah, say that a couple of times. As the legal marijuana, hemp, and CBD industry continues to grow and evolve, Neil is proud to lead the team on top cannabis attorneys at Gleam Law. All right, without any further ado, what's up, Neil?
Hey, how are you today?
Doing well. Give us an idea of where you are broadcasting from.
I am broadcasting from Seattle downtown. It's abandoned. We're the only people in downtown.
Wow. So you guys have the stay-at-home order in place, or is it more?
Lockdown, no more restaurants and bars. It's raining, or it will be. It's cold. There's nothing to do.
Maybe you could watch Sleeping in Seattle. I don't know.
recently, and I don't know what all the hype is about.
Yeah. I think back then that was like a very tender moment movie.
Oh, yeah. I might be a little too jaded for that.
Yeah, true. Well, cool. Well, today we're going to talk about the five new states that legalize cannabis. And we got a lot to talk about. We're going to jump right into it. Again, if we are live. If you guys have any questions or comments, please shoot those questions and comments. Other than that, we're going to jump straight to this presentation. I'm going to put it on a screen here. We're going to get Neil's pretty face up here. And we're going to get my somewhat cool. Bam. There you go. There's two of us. Right. There's a presentation. And the first thing is how do you feel about do you feel good about the five states that kind of legalized? How do you feel about what just happened in the election?
It was a crazy election. Thank you, Detroit, for saving a lot of it. There's only two things that really won. I mean, regardless how close the presidential election was, racism really won, and cannabis really won. So two opposite sides of the coins, I think, of the same coin. So I'm shocked that all states won by such a huge amount. It's fantastic. You know, now we have something like 42 to 46 states have some form of legalization.
Yeah, I mean, would you call that? I mean, people are saying there's a red wave, it's going to be a blue wave, but none of that happened. I mean, now people are calling this a green wave. Is that like a true, like good statement there? Was that a green wave there?
I mean, everybody won. It's not legal federally, so it's a pretty fun hybrid system. And let's take it even further. Oregon decriminalized all drugs and created a regulatory system for psilocybin. So now, within a few years, you'll be able to buy mushrooms from a provider. And, I mean, we're talking a regulated system like these five states for psychedelics.
Just as a side note, a provider would be someone who could be growing it in their backyard. Are we talking about something a little bit more regulated than that?
Like, I just actually looked over those regulations yesterday, and I mean, they're robust regulations, but the weird thing is to be a provider, which you're supposed to do it with them, it seems like a pretty low bar. So you take some training, theoretically, they still have to form the regulations. You take some training, you become a provider, you call your friends, you say you have to sit with them while they trip, and you buy it from a supplier, you know, or a pharmacy or whatever. It looks like it's not going to be that difficult. And Oregon tends to be a pretty liberal state in and of itself. So that doesn't surprise me too much.
Wow. And that's kind of following suit how, just like we're talking about right now, how certain states started to legalize or decriminalize or regulate medical marijuana or marijuana. Sounds like psychedelics is kind of like that next, you call it a purple wave?
You know, it'll probably tie-dye. I gotta say, you know, I mean, I'm not opposed to any legalized drugs, but, you know, if you smoke a joint, you smoke a blunt, you go driving, you're not really gonna get an accident. You're just gonna sit there at a blinking yellow light for a while. And they've even had studies on this. But you eat some mushrooms and it kicks in 2 hours later, you're on the highway. It's not gonna be great, I think. So yeah. There's some risk there. But yeah, more to the point, yeah, we saw five states get some form of legalization. We got Montana that came on board, which is great. And they had some form of medical prior to that. And the beauty is what you see most often is you see a two-step system. You've got the medical system that comes into play to say, look, this is just for medicine. We just need to be a help people that have specific ailments. And then that's a foot in the door. And then we go to adult use or recreational. And Montana does that. And so did Jersey and Arizona. The beauty of those is you already have a system up. You've got the regulations. You've got a method of distribution. You've got growing licenses. So it's really easy. Or it doesn't take that long. It takes a year or two to really get it into full 21 and over stores for purchasing. But the weird thing is Mississippi and South Dakota don't have a medical system. So they've got to start from the beginning, decide exactly how to write the regulations, what the regulatory body is going to be that's going to handle this, who's going to grow it, how you're going to deal out licenses. Are you going to do it political favors? Are you going to do it through an application process? Some states it's unlimited as long as you're not a felon, unless the felonies are related to cannabis. There's usually some leeway on, because if you don't allow those people, one, I mean, they went down for the industry in and of itself before it was legal. They shouldn't suffer, you know. Second, they've got the skill set to grow it well. So these are the people we want growing the product and selling the product and breeding it.
Now, what do you think contribute to this push for all these five states to just go five for five?
It's the beauty of the down economy. We're finally getting a new generation of people that know. We went to the DARE program. We know drugs are fine, or at least cannabis is. Funny enough, I mean, I don't know if you're too young for the DARE program or not.
No, I remember.
Did you go to the DARE program?
Yeah. I had the black t-shirt with the red letters, D-A-R-E. Yeah.
So it turns out the amount of drug use for people who went to the DARE program is higher than people that didn't. So literally doing nothing is more effective at preventing drug use than the DARE program.
Wow.
But wow. I mean, all of us are growing up and we're saying, look, it's fine. And the younger generation is saying, look, it's fine to do this. But it's also, and these are mostly done by initiative, so it is voters that are voting this. But it's also the fact that all the states are broke. You know, the economy's screwed. So you've got to come up with something to bring in tax revenue. And it's not that you're saying we're going to put cannabis out there. Look, in every city in the country, you can buy weed on the street. Every corner, right? So maybe we should regulate it, tax it, and make it safe to use, because it's everywhere anyways. But now we don't have pesticides that turn into cyanide when they're combusted, which was an issue early on in my state in Washington. So In almost always it's good. And we're in, we have offices in five states now, but in Washington, where it was legalized, right now we're bringing in 300 to 400 million in direct taxes, plus sales tax, plus we're creating tens of thousands of jobs. It's a no-brainer. This is what's going to bring us out of the shitty employment issue we have. You know,
now, with that in Washington, now you guys are at this level, and we know now it may take some time for these five states to actually get up and going. How long did it take there to really, once it was legalized medically or recreationally, to where you could access it or you could actually start growing it or et cetera?
About 2 years. It generally takes 2 years. So one of these initiatives passes, and unless somebody accelerates it, and we find that most of the government tends to drag their feet. Once it gets passed in an initiative, it takes about a year to create the regulatory body and regulations, and another year to actually be selling at the stores. So on average, 2 years. Jersey, though, which is one of the states that legalized, was saying that they're going to try to accelerate it and get some emergency adult use or recreational sales in the medical system. So they may be able to shortcut it by a year. We'll see. But yeah, you definitely need to get testing, traceability, because the idea is that we're not selling to the black market. It has to go through the system. So right. That entire system and software and ability to trace has to be created.
So we can kind of browse kind of state by state. So like in Montana, if you're from Montana, you're celebrating, you got a touchdown, you guys legalized. But it looks like it's not going to be really until maybe the end of 2021 that they will be able to access that type of cannabis. Even though the law goes into effect on January 1st, like you said, it's going to take a minute for them in Montana to even get. I mean, even if it was allowed on January 1st to start going to stores, you still got to start growing the stuff. It's going to take 5-6 months. Well, we didn't get the building up and going. That could take 5-6 months, and then you got to grow the plant. Unfortunately, it's not like, you know, a hot and ready is there in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's true. And most of these deadlines that the states create or the initiative creates are usually just completely blown anyways. Nobody seems to hit their own deadlines. So it'll take longer. But if you decriminalize it, which it does, if you allow possession prior to this, well, then people can still get their hands on it. They just don't know what they're getting. It's not labeled. They don't need no cannabinoid content, but they're legally allowed to consume it.
Now, I wonder, I mean, from your perspective of once they have legalized, and right, the access of it is not there, but the law is in place. And of course, you can still call Brother Man from the fifth floor to get access to cannabis. Do you see still an uptick in civil or criminal penalties, or do you see more of a decrease, even though they're kind of in this limbo period of creating a state regulatory environment, but you still are legally allowed to use it and consume it, but you have nowhere to go? Do you see like there's still this kind of reefer madness, or do you feel like it kind of slows down?
It depends. I mean, states like Montana, you're going to see some black market that has to feed the demand. And it tends to be not too much enforcement, criminal enforcement, until it's legalized federally. and then the raids begin. It just depends. Each state has a different view on it. And then there's driving under the influence and such, which we see a little bit. Smoking in public, you see a little bit. But generally, I mean, the criminal issues will go up after it's legal, as well as if demand spikes or supply decreases. So right now, demand is spiking, supply is decreasing due to all the fires on the West Coast. Wow. Huge amounts of product are gone. So we've seen the price per gram double in some cases, you know, pounds double in some cases, and even more. So that really helps the black market continue going. Is that good or bad? That's just the subjective, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably shouldn't be buying liquor from the Appalachian Mountains made in some sort of homemade still. You really shouldn't. Hey, but there's some excitement and romanticism about it every once in a while.
Yeah. And then, hey, I may know a guy too who grows some very, very clean cannabis and without any type of testing per se. But no, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's you kind of eat your own. Maybe you want to go get that moonshine from someone who just made it, or you want to go into the state system. I agree. Now, it looks like Arizona will probably be one of the first of all these five states to really, cause, I mean, they're already medical. They already had a shot at being recreational, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And then now they just got their second shot in the past with flying colors. So it seems like they're just going to use their medical system and just translate that into a rec system.
Yeah, Arizona's had quite a bit of struggle over the years. I believe when medical first got legalized, they then said you can't have flower, in which case, what the hell? You know, sell me the weed. they've gone back and forth. The rules were written all weird. But yeah, they definitely got legalized now. There's 70 recreational store licenses that are worth just a piece of paper, in some cases $10 million. So that's pretty crazy. So it's going to be very lucrative for the players. But, you know, the downside is if there's not enough competition, the consumer's not served. So we'll see on that. But Arizona, we're very happy to welcome to the fold.
Yeah, you see me scoot out. I got that warning that said you have 2 minutes left on your battery. I was like, oh, that would have been fun. That would have been not so cool. But all right, so let's get into Mississippi. We kind of talked before the show a little bit. Now, this is one of the reddest of the red states, right?
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised. When we saw on election night each of the states flip, my phone would ring. Jersey, call from Jersey immediately. Okay, I want to get into this. So we have clients in 40 states on 5 continents. So everybody calls us. So I'm dealing with each state as it's legalized. Mississippi, I didn't even know the area code when they called me. It's like, what is this? I didn't even realize it was on the ballot, just because who would think Mississippi would pass. But the cool thing about this is, when you have medical, there's usually a list of ailments or a list of medical issues that they give it to you for: cancer, AIDS, glaucoma. But they're usually very, very easy to determine. And when they're red, deep red states, they usually are very specific, very serious terminal issues. But here they added stuff like intractable nausea and any other thing a doctor believes the benefits will outweigh the risk. So they basically just opened it up to everybody, since there's always going to be doctors, you know, that say, you know, you have intractable pain, or I understand it helps you for these issues. So they basically may have legalized it for anybody who wants to do it. That does have a personal medical need, but that's wide discretion. So right. That's what I would have expected for Mississippi. So I'm happy to see it.
So I mean, even if it's anxiety, it could be nausea. I mean, pretty much any, pain obviously is very broad itself. Because there's been a lot of states. I know in Michigan, you know, we had a certain list of conditions, and then we had to keep having a petition to add more, which could take 6 to 12 months to even add more qualifying conditions to the medical program. So what you're saying right now is you ain't got to go through all those hoops. It's just whatever that doctor pretty much uses their discretion, it's all good in Mississippi.
Yeah, they had a great catch-all for it. I was very impressed. I didn't expect that when I was looking over the laws there.
Now, do you see now Mississippi being red? You got Georgia over there. You have Louisiana over there.
You got Arkansas, Oklahoma, Florida's got medical, and they keep expanding. I mean, there's almost no states left where it's illegal. I think Idaho, Indiana. I met with the one of the Indiana congressmen, and he told me he has a goal to be the 50th state that legalizes. So
the goal to be the 50th state. That's not a cool goal, man.
And that's when we explained to him, look, the weed's there no matter what. It's on every corner. Do you want the tax revenue? Do you want it safe for your consumers? Or do you want to keep it black market?
They're going to keep driving to Michigan because it's recreational and it's medical, or you're going to drive to Ohio. So, yeah, I think, so even with that, with like New Jersey, all those surrounding states, it seems like now there's more pressure for those surrounding states to now approve some type, whether it's medical or recreational.
Yeah, it's definitely going to flip a lot of the other states, especially when the states have to dig out of the economic crisis. Because I don't know if the feds are going to do it in the next couple of years or not. I mean, Biden could do it with just a recommendation to the Department of Justice to deschedule or reschedule cannabis. I just don't know if I see him doing that. He's an establishment president. So even with the Gang of Eight pushing him, I don't think it'll happen in the next couple of years.
Good. I'm actually going to get to that. I'm going to ask you a little bit more about the MORE Act at the end of this show of what you think that the impact that can have. But you mentioned earlier that you was getting a lot of calls. How do you feel that these five states that have legalized, like, how does that impact the industry, investors, some of your clients, and even consumers? I know each one could be different, but how do you see with these five states coming in, how does that impact? Is it now people are looking at it as more opportunities for businesses? Are they just for travel? I guess, how do you see this impact for industry, for investors, executives, et cetera?
I think it's good for everybody. I mean, it's not like that economic system didn't already exist. It's just now in the light. So each state, I mean, it's like opening up liquor stores in a state. Hey, it's nice if you're the tourism capital and people fly to Colorado or Washington. But now that there's so many states that have it, why not open up more liquor stores? People want to drink. You know, they're not going to go that far for it. It's good for the economy. It's good for investors. It's good for, you know, a little bit more freedom in the world. I don't see a downside to it. Unless it blocks out, you know, certain groups of people and it's just white men that own it all, in which case that sucks. You know, and it was funny early in the industry, it was very diverse, and now it's really becoming more towards the Wall Street look and feel. So I'm not real happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, I definitely like the craft, small, homegrown, home batch. So I'll just do a shameless plug. We're doing this homegrown summit coming up where it's going to be teaching people how to grow elite cannabis from home. We have 25 different experts sharing their methods on how they grow. So for these new states or other states that have allowed home cultivation, to start to kind of keep that small niche, small batch culture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I mean, it's kind of like not only growing it yourself, you make your own beer, but the terroir or the microclimates can produce very different strains similar to wine.
Oh, you just said the terroir. Look at that kind of sort right there.
Big word.
I guess it's going to take some minute for some of these states to actually have some programs in place in these different grows, licenses, facilities. But there's a couple of things that are going to happen right away. And we'll kind of talk about those factors, such as one of the most consistent things so far for all these programs is the legal age that allows you to consume and possess, whether medically or recreational, and kind of what's that legal age that you see that's the most common?
Oh, it's always 21. I mean, the only exception is for medical. Hell, I mean, we had a 6-year-old get a prescription in Washington, and when the doctor got in trouble, they didn't get in trouble for giving the prescription to a 6-year-old. They got in trouble because they didn't have proper charting of the kid. So in medical, and we've seen this with CBD plants really helping grand mal seizures and things of that nature, like Charlotte's Web. But for adult use, it's 21, same as alcohol.
Now, if you're traveling from state to state, there's some things that we should be aware of as well. Okay, 21, if you're over 21, with the exception of certain medical places, if you're over 21, you're traveling to these new states, there's some things that we should keep in mind that is not as consistent from state to state. And some of those factors we can touch on is like the plant count. If you move in there to even grow, it's not like, okay, I know in Michigan, you're allowed, if you're an adult, whether you have a Medicard or not, in Michigan, you can grow 12 plants per resident, so per household. So so even if, you know, if you're married, it's not like 12 for you and 12 for your wife for 24. No, it's 12 per household. But for medical, it's 12 per patient, and you can have at the max 5 patients. 12 times 5, 12 times 5 is 60. Yeah, it's 60. plus your own 12, that's 70. So on the medical side in Michigan, you can grow 72 at home, or you can just stay recreational and grow 12. But that differs from state to state, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of it is also total usable cannabis versus number of plants. But with plant counts being what it is, then it really directs you to grow the plants as large as possible. But if you can grow 60 to 72 in your house, you need a big house. It's pretty large. Especially on an indoor, you should be able to pull at least a few pounds up per plant.
See a green, baby.
The green method. That works for 72 plants. You got your fields of clones. You got your flowering room. It's not much room for beds or, you know, normal household things. So,
you know what? Who needs tenants, man? Because you got plants. Tenants. Now. Also, like in Michigan, as far as the legal amount that you can possess if you're 21 or older, is you can have 2.5 ounces on you if you're out and about legally on a recreational side, and you can have 10 ounces just out and about in your house. So if you're out and about in public, or you got it in the backseat of your trunk, no more than 2.5. If you got, you know, a pound or a bag of weed laying out on your counter, no more than 10 ounces should be that visible. But there's an unlimited amount of weed that you can keep locked away if you're growing.
Huh. Here.
So, because, I mean, if you're harvesting, you know, 12 plants and, you know, you're doing that, say, every 3-4 months and you're not using all that, then you're kind of stocking that up. Now, that was a problem when we had medical, because it said you can only have 15 ounces no matter what. The problem was you got 72 plants. You're probably going to have a little bit more than 15 ounces. So how can you? Yeah.
I guess you harvest one at a time.
One branch. Really. Yeah, so the amount that you can possess, and even some of the criminal print, people should be conscious that is different from state to state, right?
Oh, absolutely. And when you mentioned going state to state, don't carry it over state lines. Although most states don't really care, it's still illegal federally. I mean, at that point, you know, you're now looking at risk tolerance and levels of enforcement. So definitely don't drive it to Indiana, for instance, but. Yeah, when you go into each state, every state system is completely different.
Cool. Now, on that green wave, I mean, it's something that we could be thankful for. We definitely, I'm happy going 5 for 5. Now, do you have a magic ball on what states that you think will be the next states to legalize? Because it seems like now people are going to start legalizing through legislation. Now that this momentum's there, do you feel the same?
You know, the legislation hasn't really done much. I don't think I have my map here of what states are left, but there's not many states left that haven't legalized in some regard. I mean, even Utah has medical. Mormons have medical. Crazy. So there's not many left as far as that goes, but legislation rarely seems to do it. They try, they fail, it almost always comes from a voter initiative, and then the legislators get involved and keep updating the law.
That's what's up. And do you feel like, I feel like now, like some of these states are, you know, it used to be you go medical and then you go recreational. Do you see states kind of now skipping the medical and going straight rec, or do you still think there's a need for both programs?
It's just the usual method you go with, because it allows you to slowly enter in and build the regulatory system and dial it in a little bit before going adult use, as well as it's more palatable for more conservative states and voters. But we did just see South Dakota did them both at the same time. Like, South Dakota.
South Dakota
do anything. So, I mean, we're definitely in uncharted territory here. You know, it really took some risky states to start this, and now everybody's just jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, now it's, I mean, hopefully now on that bandwagon and on that note for all these states come in and we're still waiting for the federal legalization. You mentioned that you're not sure if it's going to happen next year. Now this MORE Act would deschedule, I believe, cannabis from the Schedule 1 to just not on a schedule. I'm not sure if it will make it legal federally. But do you have any opinions about the MORE Act or any insight on that from your...
Not specifically on that. I mean, if the Democrats take the Senate, I think they'll do it legislatively, but Biden can do it without that. He could basically just tell the DOJ to deschedule or reschedule it, but I just don't see him doing that. He's not into radical change. He's into a very steady forward path. I just don't see it. But it's possible. Otherwise, it could be 4 years, you know, or more. It just depends. I mean, when all 50 states legalize it, what's the federal government doing not legalizing it? Which this right. is definitely something that's never been done before in terms of the state versus federal juxtaposition, as well as just the way the federal government is allowed to go after this, you know, not under just justice, but under the Commerce Clause and a number of other provisions. And they're just not. At what point is it de facto legal? I don't know. Since the '80s, I've been saying we're going to legalize it in 5 years. I've been saying that for 40 years.
Oh man, maybe I'm just not going to say when it's going to legalize, but I feel like right now replacing it on the table here, Neil, it's going to become federally legal in 2021. I bet you Super Bowl tickets. Okay. Super Bowl tickets.
Bullshit. Is that going to be the versus the Browns?
If the Lions, I was going to finish it. If the Lions made it to the Super Bowl, I will give you those Super Bowl tickets if it goes legalized in 2021. So,
all right, it's a deal.
All right, Neil, please tell us, how can we stay in contact with you or how can we find you? Is the best place I got your email on the screen right now. Is there a website or anything like that we can come out, people can reach you at?
Yeah, there's gleamlaw.com, or, you know, if you can't remember that, you can go to assholelawyer.com or assholeattorneys.com. They all go to me. So,
are you serious? Are you serious?
Say that on this.
No, you can't. No, I did not know. You had, how do you, is that why you're a patent attorney? Did you patent asshole lawyer? Like,
I just own it. So, assholelawyer.com gets us to it. Gets you to us, asshole attorneys, and I'm still trying to buy assholeattorney.com. So, plural assholeattorneys.com or Octopus. We got hundreds of them.
I love it. And then, what is there? Oh, we got Jerry. Is Jerry your friend?
He's one of our people. If that's somebody posting.
No, we got. I don't know if I want to bring Jerry on. You, Jerry, you want to come on here?
Sure,
yeah, Jerry. Hey, what's up, Jerry?
So this is all good. It's like fascinating stuff. It's going to be an interesting year ahead and much more beyond that.
Hopefully it's a better year. Less COVID, more alcohol and cannabis.
So now you mentioned earlier that some of your clients are giving you a call. So who or what type of client do you guys typically look for? So I can maybe get you guys some referrals.
Our general deal is we aim for anything that touches the plant or works with the plant. We try to be a one-stop shop for everything involving cannabis. That includes hemp or, you know, the THC variety. So that's basically what we do. Anything business, regulatory, patents and trademarks and litigation, you know, CBD labeling, FDA law, anything that involves the cannabis sativa L plant.
Wow. So yeah, I definitely want to do another topic just in getting into, because I mean, I know since it's not federally legal, I guess from state to state, I mean, I can have the name, say, Taste Buds, and then I can have Taste Buds LLC here, but could there still be another Taste Buds, you know, that opens up in Ohio? But I really can't do too much about it because it's not federally legal, or am I off on that?
Yeah, there's ways you can get protection on the federal or international level that can help protect a brand. It can be done. It's just how you do it, you know, what type of products you're putting in the market, you know, how close you can get to that. So it's fact-based. It's a case-by-case scenario, but there's ways to solve that.
All right, well, awesome. Well, cool. Well, we're going to do a follow-up show just about patent law and about copyright and how you can – I know you talked about even your genetics. You guys are able to kind of put a nice little label on that, like asshole attorneys. Like, you can own it.
Yeah, there's a way to do it. And that's whether or not you want to protect your actual genotypes or not, your strains. There's division in the industry on whether or not that's okay, but it's really your specific strain. It's not like you're taking OG Kush and taking all the OG Kushes. It's just your variation of OG Kush is protected. So if somebody grabs a speed or you license cuttings or clones to them, they're not allowed to continue growing those without your permission, and you have additional areas of the law to go after.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. So that's definitely a topic we're going to get to. I want to thank you guys for coming on here. One last question, and you guys can both answer this for me as well, is if you were in a heavyweight championship fight, what song would you come out to?
How about, what is it, Dee Snider, We're Not Gonna Take It?
I can go old school and say, Eye of the Tiger, which is that's old school.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you, Neil. Thank you, Jerry. This has been great. I'm sure the audience loves it as well. We got a lot of hearts out there. And please, everybody who's watching, reach out to Neil and Jerry as well. I'm sure at Gleam Law for any of you guys' law questions in regards to patents, attorneys, or even if you just need to talk to an asshole, reach out to Neil. he will be there for you. Well, all right, guys. Thank you for being on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. For more cannabis therapy blogs and resources, check our website, cannabistherapynetwork.org, cannabistherapynetwork.org.